This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome into hour two of Lombardi Line. Michael Lombardi, Claudio Bellafato with you. We have a little update on the poll, Michael, on your Twitter at MLombardiNFL. We said which recently named starting quarterback will have the best season. Bo Nix, Gardner Minshew, Sam Darnold, Jaden Daniels. Can you guess who has the highest percentage? It's Jaden Daniels, I was told.
Yeah.
By a decent margin. Which is it? Okay, see, I don't think it's that interesting because I feel like Jaden Daniels had the most hype. I don't think anybody really cared. Not that's a bad way to put it. Not that nobody cares about Gardner Minshew or Sam Darnold, but those were the least exciting headlines of the season. So I thought it might be between Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I did too. I thought Bo Nix might do it because I think the team around Bo Nix, especially the offensive line for the Denver Broncos, is pretty good. And they can run the football, you know, and I think when they can run the football effectively and Sean Payton being the play caller, you take away the 350-yard rushing and receiving game that they allowed to the Miami Dolphins in week three of the season, you know, this Denver team isn't as bad as many people think. Now, the biggest issue is they're 1-9 against the Raiders over 10 weeks over the last five seasons, which really has affected the perception of the team. So I think Bo Nix, because the supporting cast around him could be good. Look, the Commanders traded Dotson, who we thought could be their number two receiver.
Yeah.
He's no longer on the team. He's going to be the Philadelphia Eagle number three receiver. And so how many weapons do they have? I mean, Zach Ertz is a nice player 5 years ago. But, like, where are – you know, Terry McLaurin's a really good player. But who else is going to make plays? And can this offensive line protect? I think we'll see – and I like Daniels. And I think we'll see Daniels run the ball more. I think he'll try to make plays on the outside with his arm. But for me, I think the issue is really going to come down to how good of a team is Washington around him.
Yeah, I – agree with you with the protection and the weapons specifically. I think that Bo Nix will probably have more opportunity to show his skill to where Jaden Daniels might be rushed around a little bit more, be able to use his legs, which he is so good at being that mobile quarterback, which is why I wanted him in New England. But we got another mobile quarterback, so that's all good. But I think Bo Nix might have be given a higher ceiling just because what he has around him. So that poll is still up on Michael's Twitter if you guys want to go vote and give us your take. I do want to run through, speaking of the Patriots, today's slate because we went through it quickly. Patriots is the late game, Titans and Saints at 2 p.m. But let's talk Patriots first because I think this line stands out to a lot of people after we talk about how Patriots could be one of the worst teams. They're laying 6.5. The storyline here, of course, is Drake May's development. And we talked a little bit about that. Is he showing you, short sample size again, what you expected? I know Bill Belichick, now that he's in the media space, voiced some of his concerns. Do you see development in Drake May's game just over the short stint so far, or do you think there's a lot left for him to develop?
Well, it's going to take some time for him to develop. I mean, there's no question. You know, the first game he did put through three passes. The second game he played a lot more. But again, it's preseason. Mm-hmm. It's vanilla coverages. It's vanilla fronts. Everything's – the game is much slower. And so it's easier to look better against it. Tonight, I would be very disappointed if he didn't play well. I'd be disappointed if Brissett didn't play well because I think the game's going to be slow. And when the game's slow for a quarterback, especially Washington, who just wants to kind of get out of it and move on to the next week, I think it becomes a little bit of a situation where it's easier to execute. I think that's why we're seeing, you know, we have been a very big under the total preseason. Mm-hmm. But this past weekend, we have not been under the total. We've seen some really high scoring. And why is that? Because the game's easy. The game's vanilla. It's nobody's really doing complicated things. It's an all-star game type event. And what happens at all-star games, whether it's the NBA or whether it's the NFL, scoring goes up because the defense is just playing loose. They're playing basic coverages, basic fronts, and that allows the offense to really excel, especially in week four of the preseason. I know it's week three preseason games, but they've been practicing for almost a month now. And so you're going to have some good execution and you're going to make some plays. So I think that's why the scoring's up. I'd be very disappointed if Brissett or May didn't play well tonight.
I was going to ask you about that total. Do you think, though, because it is the last preseason game and some guys are fighting for those final roster spots on defense specifically, that defense might be the unit that really stands out in this spot? That's why I was looking at that total of 34.5 seems low. I think that speaks to the offense on both sides as well, but maybe also because those defensive players will step up trying to make a last spot.
Yeah, well, I mean, how good are they on defense? I'm not sure the depth of the Patriots' defense is good enough, nor is Washington. I think that's what you have to look at. You know, and sure. And you break down some of these games. I mean, look, you know, Steelers played their starters. They scored 14 points in the first quarter. The Lions turned it over. That game goes to 41. That hits the over. Whereas, like, the Packers, you know, they played the Ravens, which are typically a very good preseason team, and the Ravens just wanted to get out of it, and they scored 7 points. 37. And I'm sure that probably, I don't know what the cash number was on that one, but these games are more high scoring because I think what's happening, like the Bears and the Chiefs, right? Let's take that game as an example. The Bears didn't play any of their starters. They played their backups, and so did the Chiefs. And we end up with a 55 total. So a lot of that is because of the execution. Even though you're playing your backups, you know, I think sometimes in preseason, we get motivated to bet the over because we hear the starters are playing. Well, if it's backups versus backup, it's probably an even game unless you've got really bad backups. For example, the Jets-Giants, right? The Giants' backups are not very good, and the Jets' backups at quarterback particularly are not very good. So now you have a lower scoring game. I think you have to take a look at that.
Giants' starting quarterback's not really that good either. But yes, backup makes a difference. Well,
I mean, don't tell that to the Giants, Claudia. I mean, they think he's great. I mean, they want to do everything to build around him.
Let me ask you that then, because I was talking about this yesterday with Mike Palm. Should Giants fans be worried? Or again, is that just too small of a sample size to see Daniel Jones running around to be worried about?
I think if you're a Giant fan, you should be perpetually worried. I mean, think about this, Claudia. The Giants are 7-31 in 38 games against the Eagles and the Cowboys. They've won seven games and lost 31 against those. They can't. How are you going to win if you can't get out of your division? They're the only team in the NFC East which has transferred the winner every single year. They're the only team that hasn't won it in the last 10 years. The Eagles have won 3, the Cowboys have won 5, and the Washington, whatever you want to call them, have won 2. So the Giants are on this trajectory. There's no reason to believe this offensive line has improved. We saw Evan Neal play last night, and it wasn't pretty, and it wasn't good. So forget about him at right tackle. You know, he's a first-round pick that's going to be standing next to Brian Daboll. I can promise you that based on what I saw on the tape this morning when I watched him. And so when you look at that line, that's going to be a problem. Can Daniel Jones come in and play fast? I think that's an issue. And this defense is built with the addition of Brian Burns to rush the passer. Thibodeau, Burns, Dexter Lawrence inside. You know, but if you don't get the lead, it's hard to rush the passer. And are they good enough in the run game? I think that's going to be the question. I think the Giants have a lot to prove for everybody.
I was going to say, and then you don't have Saquon Barkley. So the games where the quarterback play wasn't pretty, you had one of the top running backs in the league to lean on, but that is not the case anymore. So that total of 6.5, it's low, but I tend to lean under on that one. I want to get to what's on your mind, but we also have two other games on today's slate. Just quickly, Cardinals at Broncos. Broncos, the 3-point favorite there. We're going backwards here because Patriots was the 8 p.m. game. Broncos, Cardinals, 4:30 game. And then Titans laying 4.5 at the Saints. That total at 37. That is the 2 p.m. game. Will Levis playing in that one. Bo Nix not playing for the Broncos. Either of these games are you really looking into? Are you expecting a lot from Will Levis, or again, just a short sample size?
I think this Will Levis game is a little bit like the Bryce Young game for the Carolina Panthers. Get him some confidence. I mean, the one thing about when you watch Will Levis, you see a very inconsistent thrower of the football. You know, one throw can look really good. The next throw could be in the dirt. And I think Brian Callahan wants to get his offensive line kind of some continuity. And I think he needs to get some confidence in the quarterback and see how they do. New Orleans won't play any of their guys. They played everybody last week against the 49ers in that game. And so they're going to rest their guys and move forward. Same thing with Arizona, Denver. Denver is not even going to pull. This will be a Zach Wilson game or a Jarrett Stidham game. They're just trying to get through it to get to the next one. And so I think both these games have a propensity to really, I don't know what we're going to learn. But I do believe that in this Denver and in the Tennessee-New Orleans game, It's about confidence for Will Levis as they get ready to open up as a 4.5-point dog against the Chicago Bears, which is really one of the most remarkable things. A rookie quarterback playing at home in his first start is favored more than a touchdown. What does that tell you about Tennessee, or what does that tell you about the Bears and the people that are betting on the Bears?
And I'm seeing now, too, our producer just let me know. I see pretty much six across the board for Tennessee. So I don't know if that's just like money or if some other news came out. We'll have to look into that. But the market certainly liking Tennessee for that 2 p.m. game up against
the
Saints.
Market's reacting in that one, Claudia, just because they hear what the starting quarterback's going to start. I think that drives the
they're
movement,
just learning,
right? That drives the movement. And so once you hear that, all of a sudden everybody goes. I mean, New England's a 6.5-point favorite. Why? Because they're starting, their two quarterbacks are going to play, and people feel like, okay, here we go.
Yeah, and I mean, that line opened Washington 2.5, so that shows you just how much that flipped. The opposite side opened as the favorite. Now the Patriots laying just under a touchdown with that extra point. I want to get into what's on Michael's mind, but we only have about 30 seconds left, so we'll get into that up next. Quickly, anything that Frank Schwab mentioned earlier in the block in that first hour that you'd like to revisit? Anything really stick out to you from him and his plays?
Well, I thought he did a great job. I mean, I'm a big Seattle believer, too. I think that line at 5 is too much, especially in opening games where it's hard to handicap. I think, to me, you know, opening weekend is challenging because you don't have enough information, especially as Seattle. How good will they be on defense with Mike McDonald? If they're improved on defense, which is what I believe, and they won 9 games as the worst defense in football last year, I think they're going to be a playoff team.
That is a good point. I mean, they couldn't do any worse. So I would certainly look to the over on the win total for them. And week to week, lots of futures for Seattle. What's on Michael's mind? That's next here on Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Lombardi Line, Michael Lombardi, Claudia Vellafato. And Michael, I'm very curious to see today on this beautiful Sunday, what is on Michael's mind?
Well, I think to me, you know, one thing about Pittsburgh and the Steeler Nation is they are all in all the time. I watched the game yesterday in Detroit, and you could still, even though it was a sellout crowd and the Lion fans were loud, you could hear the Steeler fans in a preseason game reacting. So who plays quarterback for Pittsburgh is a big deal. And I think to me, the decision that Mike Tomlin has is ultimately one that reminds me of, we don't have a good option. Like, we really don't. I mean, when you're deciding in week 4 of the preseason who's your starting quarterback, you probably don't have a starting quarterback because no one's distinguished them themselves. I mean, you could say whatever you want about the game yesterday. Well, Justin Fields played. They were playing against backups. The game was meaningless. I know they wanted to give some confidence to Russell Wilson, maybe some confidence to Justin Fields. But for me, what's on my mind is Pittsburgh. I know I'm scared to death to bet the under total because of Mike Tomlin's reputation as a coach and what he's been able to accomplish. But I'm also looking at a realist and seeing that their offensive line is struggling to protect. They don't have a quarterback. And even though I love Arthur Smith as the offensive coordinator, I think it's going to be a real challenge. So Pittsburgh's a team I'm going to stay away from in betting one way or the other. But I'm interested in watching them because I think this is a team that will have cap room next season but not have a quarterback.
Can I ask you this about Russell Wilson? And I'm sure this is on his mind. Well, man, if I get benched again, what does that do to his confidence after coming off of what happened in Denver, his trade stock basically being traded as the value of a kicker when it came to money? What does that do for his mindset heading into the season? And then if he does get benched for Justin Fields?
Well, I think he's been trending, Claudia, in the wrong direction since he turned 33. You know, one of the things that we often would do in the NFL is there's a benchmark age, and it's not always reliable, and it's not steadfast in the prediction. But at 32, used to be quarterbacks, not since Tom Brady beat Father Time, but you would trend downward. And Russell's last year in Seattle, he's 6-8 as a starter, did not play very well, was not running with the football or working the pocket. You know, it played a lot of games. He didn't miss a game until 2021. He played in all the games. He missed 2 in 2021 as the first time he missed a game. taking a lot of hits. And then the last 3 years, 1 year in Seattle, the 2 years in Denver, he hasn't played well. He's the most games he won was in Denver when they won seven games. Seattle is last year he won six. And then, you know, Denver, he, first year there, he won four. He doesn't work the pocket. He throws, you know, he's not making plays down the field, which is what he has to do. His yards per attempt has dwindled really fairly down. It's consistently gone down. And his rating has consistently gone down. So to me, he shows all the signs of a former boxer who was once a heavyweight champion that doesn't fight the same level. And I think it's really considering you have to look at it. Last year, he averaged 6.9 yards per attempt. 6.9 yards per attempt. That's the lowest he's ever averaged in his career, which was only precedent by the year before where he averaged 7.3. So he's been trending in the wrong direction.
And the pressure is on his shoulders, so I'm sure the jitters, although he is a vet, he probably hasn't gotten used to. We will see, Michael. We got 2 weeks. So it is coming up very soon to be determined with the Pittsburgh Steelers and all the other quarterback battles surrounding the NFL, which brings us to Circa Survivor, which I'm terrible. I haven't seen episode one yet, so I really need to do that. Michael, yeah. Episode one of the Quest Circa Survivor, $9.2 million, which I could really use, so maybe I should enter. Watch it now at VSiN.com. Five-part docuseries takes you inside the high-stakes world of the annual Circa Survivor. You can watch episodes 2 through 5 next Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. PT on VSiN.com and YouTube, as well as live broadcast on X. And I think we can all use $9.2 million. So I might have to make a little trip out to Vegas. Speaking of NFL bets, week one, we're seeing that money pour in as NFL week one is about to kick off, just about 2 weeks. Time to play fade or follow. Panthers are the only dog, Michael, seeing the lopsided action here against the Saints in week one, 91% of the handle. This opened 4.5, so down to 4. Are you surprised by this? Of course, we've talked about Bryce Young a bit. We haven't gone too deep on the Saints, but are you surprised by this lopsided action for the dog?
No, I think anytime, as we talked about with Frank, I'm not sure what to make of the NFC South, right? Everybody is, you can make a case for any team with the exception of Carolina. But these games are typically usually very close. Dennis Allen is a really good defensive coordinator. He and Dave Canales, you know, last year he goes into Tampa Bay. I'm talking about the New Orleans Saints and Dennis Allen and really shuts down the Tampa offense. And so I think you have to constantly look at the coordinator battles in these games. And so he shuts down that offense significantly. It was the worst game that Tampa played down the stretch, and they won the last weekend to get themselves to the NFC South title. But I think these games are always closer, you know, they're always tighter, and the Carolina defense will present a problem for Derek Carr. I think a lot of this is the reflection of Derek Carr's inability when the games are on the line. Last year, think about this, Storm. I was going to call you Stormy. Think about this, Claudia. the first four games of the year last year, when the Saints were getting going, Derek Carr threw 2 touchdown passes, 2 interceptions, could not make plays in the red zone. The last 5 games, when they're out of the playoffs, when they really don't have a chance to get in it, he throws 14 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He plays much better when there's no pressure on him. And when there's a lot of pressure on him, that's why I call him the Ricky Fowler of the NFL, because, you know, he can play well. We know it. But sometimes the pressure gets to him. And I think this is a reflection of the line. It opened originally offshore at 5 points. And now there's some shops. I mean, you could see it. It's at 3.5. If you want it, I mean, over at the Westgate, it's at 4. I don't know what it is there at Circa. But to me, there's movement here that's going towards Carolina. Not because I think they think Carolina is going to be great, just because I think they think these teams are, especially opening day, are fairly evenly matched.
Yeah, I'm not too surprised as well, because I think just in terms of the quarterback play you mentioned, we know what to expect from Derek Carr, which means opposing defenses and opposing coaching staffs know what to expect. And we do have tape on Bryce Young, but we still don't really know what the ceiling looks like for him yet in the NFL. And yeah, got past that key number. We're up to 4 now. So, of course, shop around, like Michael said, different numbers all around. But that's the one dog we're seeing lopsided action on for week one. Another number that sticks out is 89% of the handle on the Texans against the Colts. Texans laying 1.5, so you don't have to lay much with them. And an offense that just exploded last year with C.J. Stroud and really only got better this year, Michael.
Yeah, I think if you like the Colts, wait. This number's a 2 in some other shops, too, so I would wait. I mean, you're home opener and you're a 2-point dog to a team that if Gardner Minshew throws the ball correctly on the fourth down play, you might win and make the playoffs. So why is that? Now, look, the Colts are really – their Colts are going to be shopping for corners this offseason, this next – next 2 weeks. And I think to me as a betting network, we have to be really aware of the transactions that are going to occur starting tomorrow and going all the way through until next Monday, where teams are going to, there's going to be trades. We've seen a little bit of it so far. There's going to be holes that need to get filled because reality has set in. All these teams that started training camp that thought they're going to win the Super Bowl now have said, oh, we got a big hole at corner, or we got a big hole at right tackle, or we got a big hole at guard. They're going to start making trades. And I think in the Colts case, their corner situation is not very good. And going against a team like Houston with Nico Collins, who's a legitimate big play down the field receiver, right? Tank Dell's going to be healthy. He wasn't in the last game. And then you've got Stephon Diggs as the third option with Dalton Schultz at tight end. Yeah. And I think to me, this is going to be a really challenging game for the Colts, but I like Shane Steichen's ability to run the offense. He moved the ball on Houston last year in that game with Gardner Minshew. So I would be really careful, but the secondary for the Colts worries me. They're a zone-based team. Gus Bradley wants to run a lot of zone, and Houston's very good at attack, and C.J. Stroud is very good in these situations. So I could see why people are betting Houston as the opener. But look, let's face it. One thing about home field, if you look at opening weekend on home field, it's never going to favor the home team. It's pretty much a split down the middle as road teams win opening weekend.
Joe Mixon out of the backfield, too. Like I said, so much talent on that offense. Quickly, because we didn't really talk about Anthony Richardson, but on the other side of this, you talked about some pieces for the Colts. Lots coming out about Anthony Richardson. It felt like everybody was so quick to want to bet on him and the Colts after just seeing him in 4 games, which I get it, 4 rushing touchdowns, 3 passing. People were excited. But what did you see from him so far in the preseason?
Well, I mean, you saw an inconsistent player. You know, he takes the opening drive against the Bengals, goes right down the field, makes some good plays, makes good decisions. And then the next drive, if you had the Colts laying the 2, he killed you because he throws a pick 6 and he throws it 5 yards behind the receiver. So this is what we call a young quarterback, growing pains.
Yep, you said it. You mentioned Gardner Minshew now. Starter for the Raiders. They are getting faded against the Chargers. Chargers laying 3.5 there. Eagles and Lions the favorite in their games as well for week 1.
Up next. This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Lombardi Line, I'm Michael Lombardi. Claudia Bellafato joined by Bo Rivage, sportsbook director. Carl Johnson, find him online at Jick Jack Johnson. I'm sure it felt like eternity to him, Michael. It felt like eternity for us waiting for football. We finally got some college football week 0. I'm very curious to see with all 4 dogs cashing how the books turned out. So we'll bring Carl in here in a second just to see. But I'm sure it was absolute madness over there, but a good kind of madness, Michael.
Yeah, I mean, look, who would have known that these teams would have not covered except for the great Carl Johnson from the Biloxi, Mississippi, the Beau Rivage. Carl, it's so good to have you back. We've missed you over the last couple seasons, but we've been following you, and it's wonderful to have you back here and right there in Southeast Conference. What was the reaction in your book yesterday to some of those games, especially you're so close to Tallahassee with the Florida State Seminoles losing to Georgia Tech?
Yeah, look, it's good to be back with you, Michael. We certainly missed you. It's good to be with Claudia. Look, yesterday, I mean, wow, what a day. I mean, it didn't take long, did it? I mean, you seen the dogs start rolling in. I mean, this game was typical. I mean, we opened this game, Florida State, Georgia Tech, around July 2nd. It opened at 13.5. Sharp money immediately hit Georgia Tech. They got about a month and a half run on that, brought this thing down to 10.5 at kickoff. And I can tell you all day yesterday, we wrote Florida State money. So we had a good day yesterday. You know, the book was loud. All the dogs come through yesterday, which is it should be an indication of what kind of season we're going to have, I believe. So anybody can beat anybody. Yesterday was just proof of that.
I was going to say, we've been having this conversation as far as bookmakers go. Is there a lot of adjustment or over reenactment, you know, to week zero lines, or you guys sort of have your mindset ready? Because I know week one is coming up now, big games, Clemson, Georgia, Georgia laying 13.5 there at some shops, Texas A&M, shorter line against Notre Dame. Do you guys take a lot of what you saw in week zero into account, or is it just a new slate, new season, or new week, I should say, for you guys?
Yeah, you know, you got to be real careful in week zero. I mean, these teams, you know, they don't get to play any preseason games like the NFL do. So, you know, they play a spring football game, and then they're out on the field playing for real. You know, this one of these spots, typical of what we got coming up here on September 1st, LSU at USC. I don't like the matchup for LSU. I think it's, you know, why would you play a team that's like USC? Why would you play that type of game on your first game out? It's just, I just don't like the scheduling. And I see a lot of these teams that do that. You know, I like the cupcake start. It lets you, you know, kind of get into your rhythm. You know, it those delay a game penalties, it gets rid of all that stuff, lets you work out the little kinks. But, yeah, it, I mean, you know, I don't put too much into, week zero, you know, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, Carl, you know, it's funny, though, you say that, and Lincoln Riley was trying like hell to get out of that game. He wanted nothing to do with playing LSU. He's tried like crazy to get out of it. He tried to convince them it's not good for us and all that. Are you seeing a lot of LSU money, and how good will LSU be this year with Nussmeier being the quarterback?
Yeah, so, I mean, we always see good LSU money. I mean, that ticket count and handle is probably going to run about 80-80. That's just typical. That's the way it does every week. Look, third season for Brian Kelly. You know, all of a sudden LSU has become quarterback university, you know, with this Heisman vote and stuff. You know, I mean, they got Burrows in. They got Jaden Daniels in. You know, we've got some liability with Nussmeier at quarterback there. You know, the problem is LSU was one of the worst defenses in the SEC last year. So, I believe they got a new coordinator, this Blake Baker. And so that defensive front's going to be their biggest question mark, I believe. I think offensively, you know, they can, they'll probably be able to score. But that's a typical weekend for us. We're going to always probably be pulled. We're going to probably need USC big time here. Everything is just bet regionally now. So, they'll run about 80-80 and, we'll hope it's a good game.
Yeah. Lots of pressure on USC, especially without Caleb Williams for that first game. You talked about some of the liability for week one. I'm always curious, is there a game that stood out to you as sort of shocking that you guys are seeing a lot of action on, whether it's week one or coming weeks or maybe a future as well?
Yeah, for us, Claudia, you know, week one is, it's, you know, I can tell you, Ole Miss is getting a lot of action this year. LSU's getting a lot of action. Georgia, Texas, you know, Texas is getting a whole bunch. Texas and Ole Miss for us, they're being heavily bet. You know, this Texas team coming into the SEC, we're going to see how they do defensively. You know, how their offensive moves against some of these defenses team, but Texas is going to be scary, and Ole Miss is going to be very good. This Jackson Dart kid, he's getting some Heisman stuff, some money coming his way also. Then you got Georgia. I mean, it seems like every year we talk about Georgia. I mean, they're stacked on both sides of the ball, but they a fairly tough schedule. They got to go to at Alabama. They got to go at Ole Miss, and they got to go at Texas. So it's going to be difficult there. And I know that there's some smart money that's played under on the win total for Georgia.
You know, Mississippi was interesting. I listened to Nick Saban yesterday, Carl, and he talked about how Ole Miss finally in the trenches can match up to some of these teams, which I think does. They've always had great skill, but now they've got an opportunity, assuming that they can stay healthy within the offensive line. And I agree. Same thing with Texas. I mean, I think we could see easily four teams in the final 12. When you look at Texas, you look at Ole Miss, you look at Art, you look at Alabama and Georgia, those four teams are really good. And I think obviously, Mike Elko will do a good job at Texas A&M restoring that program from the disaster that was Jimbo Fisher. Let's go to the NFL. You're down south. You're in Mississippi, close to Georgia. Are you getting a lot of action on Atlanta to win the NFC South?
You know what? We are. I mean, they're more so than we ever have in the past. I mean, we've got them. They're minus $1.40. They're the favorites right now to win the NFC South. I mean, you got, the Saints at plus 475. They usually get a lot of money. And then Tampa Bay is at, I think, plus 280, something like that. So, yeah, for the Falcons to be where they were the last couple of years and all of a sudden now they're the betting favorites, we're getting some pretty good action, yes.
Carl, I'm curious on the comeback player of the year, because they've made the adjustment now to it's very specific. You have to come back from injury or illness that kept you sidelined. And it's also sort of a storyline award, I like to call it. Aaron Rodgers the favorite, though, at plus 140. Not everybody loves Aaron Rodgers. Are you guys seeing some sort of action in that market?
Yeah, I mean, that's more of a national market for us. They want Burrow. I mean, just because he's from, that's the kind of the way they bet us here. So I do know nationally a lot of people are on Aaron Rodgers. For us, that market will look like Burrow all the way down, it's just weird how these original things have looked. And that's one of the reasons, I'll be honest with you, I don't look at the national numbers, the splits right now, a whole lot. They're not a good indication of my book. I don't have a lot of money on week one games yet. So you're seeing some ticket counts and some handle counts way up there. I guarantee you, for Detroit, for example, those people, it's a lot of money coming through over there. They're betting Detroit here. They're betting the Saints, but not much else. So that's just the way these regional books work now.
What's the reaction to Alabama and Caden DeBoer down there? I know you're close to I know you're close to Alabama, and it got a lot of fans. I've been in that book with you before. What's the reaction to Caden DeBoer down there?
With Nick Saban. I mean, Saban's a Hall of Famer, so they're upset that Saban's gone, but they're giving this guy a chance. The difference is, I believe they're so used to having a defensive mind. As their head coach now, DeBoer's more of an offensive oriented guy, but he'll surround himself, and he has surrounded himself with some good defensive guys. So that's going to be interesting. They lost a lot of talent in that transfer portal, Mike. So they got to go to Georgia. Well, they get to play Georgia at home, but they got to go to LSU and Tennessee. So look, it's going to be an interesting year for Alabama.
I just have to say, Carl, you probably got a lot of excitement yesterday, but a long season ahead of you for both college football and NFL. We enjoy you hopping on the show. I'm sure we'll see much more of you this season.
I can't wait, yeah, Carl. Thank you.
Can't wait. We enjoy it. We love you guys. We'll see you down the street.
All right. Thanks, Carl. From the Boat Ravage, I should say, sportsbook. You can find him on the socials at Jick Jack Johnson. I just have to say, Michael, you said you went to go watch a game with him. That must be so much fun sitting down with a guy who's.
Oh, that book's alive down there, Claudia. That's a great book in Biloxi. They're passionate Southeast Conference fans, and he's close to, LSU, Ole Miss. It's really a lot of fun.
College football people are crazy. I love it. All right, we're gonna wrap up the show next.
This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Wrapping up here on the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi. I'm Claudia Balafato. We just had Beau Ravage, sportsbook director Carl Johnson, who just amped me up, man. He got me so excited for this upcoming season. Anything that he talked about NFL or college football-wise that really stood out to you?
Well, you know, Carl's got a pulse on it down there, especially as we talked about when we went to break on the last segment about the college football, LSU. He's close to Baton Rouge. He's close to Tallahassee, Florida State. And then, of course, you got Ole Miss. I think what Nick Saban said on television yesterday, for us as bettors and a betting company, we have to take to heart, because Mississippi has always been a team that has had great skill. But if you watch their games last year, Jackson Dart, whenever he played against a good team, he got the crap beat out of them. They couldn't really protect. They couldn't keep him upright. And for all the skill, the longer the game went, the harder it became. Football is a game of attrition, right? It's a boxing match. And so you need to have depth. You need to have the physicality to be able to win the game in the last 8 minutes of the fourth quarter, because good teams are not going to go away early. You know, the game has to be won from the 52-minute mark to the 60-minute mark. That's where pro college, that's where they're won. And I think Ole Miss has that kind of team this year, so it'll be fascinating to see where they are. And I asked him about Caden DeBoard, Claudia, because I think if you just look at it, look, replacing Nick Saban's damn near impossible. He's a great coach. He built a tremendous program, and he understands how to manage a game. But, and this is a big but, DeBoard running the offense will be better than Tommy Reese running the offense last year at Alabama. And I think they will be improved on offense, because I think Milroe will be better. He can throw it as effectively. He'll run with it. But I thought Nick Saban also said yesterday on the show that they're better defensively than he thought they would be. When Nick was running the defense, they're very complex. They're very check with me, be in the right call, double check this, make this check. And it became a little bit complex. But now they said, as he said, their talent, based on what he's watched at practice, and their level of play is certainly going to improve. And I think Alabama, with DeBoard, who's an outstanding coach, can really improve that team.
My favorite part was when Saban didn't pick his former squad to win it all and then came back and said, no, no, that was just rat poison. How much of that is true? And that's what I want to know.
Well, it's hard to pick Alabama to repeat, though. I mean, to Alabama to win it all. There's some question marks that have to get answered, right? You're betting on the future. It's like Atlanta and the Falcons. Okay, you're betting that Kirk Cousins stays healthy. You're betting that they can turn the football over. You're betting that teams will play them differently. And you're betting that they'll be as good in the red zone and on third down as they were last year. Those are hard things to bet on. So, you know, whereas Georgia, you have a kind of a consistent program. I think one thing we're going to see in college football, as the players change, the coaches that stay have a much higher success rate, because there is continuity within the program. You know, we just saw it with Georgia Tech. There's continuity within their program. They got the quarterback that they needed. And they built a program around where they could find a way to win games. And they won that game in the last minute, drove the ball down the field to kick the field goal to win it and beat Florida State. So continuity in a land of non-continuity makes a huge difference.
Yeah, transfer portal has certainly shook things up. So coaching will be key moving forward in college football. And speaking of college football, I want to get into NFL and our poll that we put up on Michael's Twitter. But a reminder, because if you haven't checked it out yet, you should do it now. College football is tough to handicap, people. These slates are massive. So if you go to beeson.com, we have people who did all of the work for you. Previews of all 134 teams, top 25, power ratings, betting systems. You can get all of that monthly for just $19, or all of college and NFL for just $175. It is worth it, people. You know, bankroll is important, but even if you have a small unit size, you don't want to be throwing money around. We have folks who are doing all the work for you. And that's cheap for the season, $175 for college and NFL. So make sure you check that out. To the final poll update, we go. We asked you which recently named starting quarterback will have the best season. Bo Nix, Gardner Minshew, Sam Darnold, Jaden Daniels. And Jaden Daniels saw the early money, I almost called it, saw the early votes, and he came out on top, Michael, at 39%.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, look, the Daniels, you know, one of the things I think that I said this to Femi, when we were talking on the GM shuffle about Bo Nix, and he was betting Bo Nix to win the Heisman. Well, a lot of people didn't see Bo Nix play because he was playing at 10:30 East Coast time. And after a day of watching football from noon, it's hard to stay up and watch the 10:30 game for a lot of people. So nobody really knew how good Bo Nix was. Whereas Jaden Daniels, I think everybody has watched him play college football. They watched his athleticism. They watched him run around, gained 1,000 yards rushing. So they're familiar with him. Whereas nobody really knows, you know, Sam Darnold has a rep, you know, we look at Gardner Minshew. He's got a rep. And then, of course, you know, Bo Nix, nobody thought he should be a first-round pick, but those were the draft Knicks. They weren't really the people in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm not surprised to see Gardner Minshew with the smallest percentage here. No hate to him, but I don't want to say hate to Las Vegas, but I don't really understand what they're doing. Do you have any sense of what the Raiders are expecting from themselves? Because I'm not expecting much from them.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the Raiders have to, you know, this is the week, and I wrote about this, and I talked about this quite a bit on the podcast. This is the week where you as a head coach, Claudia, have to decide how you want to play the game to win. You've already declared who your team is. Now, you've got to fill some holes in. You need, you know, we need to have this, we need to be better here. But the essence and the philosophical understanding of what it's going to take to win games has to occur. And for the Raiders, they've got to run, they've got to play really good defense. They've got to not give up big plays, make teams execute down the field, long drives, play great in the red zone, and then keep the game tight into the fourth quarter. They cannot turn the ball over. Their margin for error, even though they have great skill, you know, whether it's Devontae Adams, whether it's, you know, whether it's the two tight ends and Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers or Jacoby Myers. I mean, they have players, but the offensive line is not good enough right now, especially if Colton Miller's not ready to play in the opener against the Chargers and Joey Bosa down there. So I think there's a certain formula that they have to attach themselves to. And that comes down to Antonio Pierce understanding that formula. And we know this, too. If you just look over the landscape of former interim coaches who become a head coaches, that they don't really maintain the same level that their internship did, because that momentum that they built from the change doesn't carry over into the next season.
Yeah, I just have to think that Devontae Adams probably is going crazy. I'm curious how much longer he will stay on that roster, but that's a whole nother conversation. The regular season kicks off in just 2 weeks, but we do have one final preseason game, six teams. I know how to do math. It's fine. We have three games today. Patriots, Commanders, Pats are the 6.5-point favorites there, and Titans laying 4.5 against the Saints. Cardinals and Broncos laying 3 there with that aforementioned Bo Nix, who will not play, though. Sean Payton says he's seen enough. He is getting the starting job. So Jarrett Stidham and Zach Wilson will have the go there. I know we've broken all of these games down, but just sort of final say on these. Do you have any preseason action? I have a feeling you don't from what we've talked about.
I think preseason, like I'll give you the pro example, Claudia. On Thursday night, Stormy and I were talking about the Bengals and the Colts, and that we knew the Colts were going to start their starting offense, and we knew the Bengals weren't going to start their guys. So the first quarter point was 2.5, and that was, to me, seemed like too easy to be true, but it was a worthwhile bet. And naturally, what happened in the game, the Colts take the opening kickoff, go right down the field and score. The Bengals get the ball, they sputter around, they have to punt, and then the next thing you know, with about 3 minutes to go in the quarter, what happens? Anthony Richardson throws a pick six, and all of a sudden the first quarter ends up 7-7. It's just so hard to predict. There's no continuity and there's no history to it. And so for me, you're betting into the unknown. And now I would urge people today to be careful about the under totals, because what we've seen out of the last weekend is the offensive scoring has gone way up. Execution's improved, and the backups are playing at a better level than they did before in most instances.
Let me ask you this then. You said the first quarter seemed too good to be true. That's what it feels like with the Patriots right now, to be up by one around even money first quarter. We know they're going with the starters. Mayo said whoever's healthy is going. I feel like that's a good play.
It is a good play, assuming that they can block them and assuming that, you know, that everything comes together. I agree with you. But, you know, when it's one thing I've learned about doing this betting thing, when it looks too easy, it never is. It never is. Yeah. It never comes out that way.
If it was, then we would all be rich, Michael Lombardi.
That's right.
Thanks for everybody for hanging out with us here on the Lombardi Line. Enjoy the last of preseason football and pretty much every weekend from here on out, because between college and NFL, football is back. Michael, always a joy hanging out with you here. Coming up next on VSiN, The Handle with Matt Brown and Mike Samage. Make sure to go to VSiN as well for those betting guides. Like I said, college football can be very overwhelming. You don't have to do it alone because the VSiN experts have you covered. Go visit VSiN.com. Great deal right now on the college football and everything NFL. Go enjoy your Sunday. Hope you had a great weekend and have a great week.